Welcome to the One Right Church podcast, where we will discuss what it's like to believe that you attend the only right church. My name is Mark Shaw, and I spent the first 45 years of my life in the Followers of Christ Church in Oregon City, believing I was in the One Right Church. Our hope is that by simply sharing our story, that we would urge people to look to the Bible for answers instead of their religious traditions. We want to encourage people to trust in Jesus for their salvation and not in attending the One Right Church. Let's get started. Well, welcome back, Scott.
Well, thank you very much. I hope you're doing okay.
Doing okay. Yeah. We talked last week about the pastor search, and it reminded me of, you know, what I would have said in response probably to something like that. And I remembered a phrase that we used a lot, and it was, God knows our situation.
So you'd have said that in response to what?
I would have said that in response. If someone told me, you need to get a pastor at your church, I would have said, God knows our situation. If he wanted us to have a preacher, we would have one.
Really?
Yeah.
So just it would appear out of nowhere, or see that's the thing. I mean, God uses means on stuff like that. I mean,
right.
And I would say the same thing here. If God wants us to get a pastor, we'll get one. But we're not going to get one without some resumes. We're not going to get one without some applications and some references and all the things.
Right.
And so, you know, God uses means. It's not like poof, there's going to be.
Right,
a pastor. Sometimes people wish, poof, a pastor would disappear, but poof, no one ever come. I'll tell you that.
Yeah, this is the mindset that a lot of us had was we're just waiting on God. The ball's in His court. He will provide if He wanted us to have. That's the other thing. If He wanted us to have one, we would have one. So it was. There was this split camps again on this. Some thought we absolutely had to have a preacher, and others thought time's going to end and we don't need one. God knows our situation, and He will make a way for us. And that would just become a blanket statement, and it was like we could just wash our hands of anything, and the ball's in God's court. And we're just waiting on Him. And we could feel good about being faithful that way. We're just being patient and faithful and just waiting on God to make our situation different.
I don't have anything to say on that. I mean, I'm like looking at you across the table with this blank, I feel like I have a blank stare in my face.
Yeah.
And it's like, because, you know, yeah, God, first of all, it's right. God does know your situation.
Yes.
100%.
Yes, He does.
God knows the situation. God knows all the situations.
Yep.
And it's also right to say God knows it, and, you know, God is able to change it or to fix it or
yep.
to make it just exactly what He wants it to be.
Yeah.
God is able to do that. That is a true affirmation also.
Right.
And so really, and you know, there is a sense in which this whole saying, I guess, or phrase is correct.
Yeah.
You know, and I think the reason for my blank look was that, yes, that's true, and that still does not absolve us from responsibility.
Right.
And, I mean, and it never has and never will.
Right.
You know, because, I mean, if you just take that one step farther, maybe it's two steps, but you know, God knows your situation, yes, because He's pretty smart.
Yeah.
But guess what? If He knows every situation because He's, you know, infinitely smart,
yeah,
and He is, then does that absolve everybody of every responsibility? Because He knows their situation for sure.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I guess that's where I get stuck, you know, hearing you say this and give you a funny look like, I'm wondering, it's true, but it doesn't change my responsibility. And, you know, I don't, maybe that's not even what you're saying. And I just,
yeah, Those are some of my favorite moments, by the way, when we're doing this, is when I say something and you just don't even know how to respond to it.
But those are the ones you're going for, isn't it? The dead air time. Okay.
Yeah, the listeners probably hate it, but it's enjoyable for me.
There are some podcast listening, software things that will cut those out.
There you go.
Some people would never know that I actually had nothing to say.
Right. Well, I think that the problem really is that we would say that God knows our situation. If He wanted it to be different, He would make it different.
But true.
Yep. But then we had distinct ways where He would have had to do that. Like
He had to do it your way.
He had to do it my way. He had to do it our way.
Okay.
And your hands aren't clean anymore, right? At that point, and you're not patient and you're not faithful if you're just saying, this is the way we've seen it done before, so this is the way it has to happen. And
people do that in all kinds of ways, right? I mean, I remember when I was single, you'd say, well, how's God going to bring a wife? And, people would use various Bible stories like, the servant going to get Rebecca to be Isaac's wife, and he'd ride his camel and pray, Lord, let the first woman I see be the one.
Right.
And she was. And he's like, well, that works. That's a great idea. Yeah. And, funny thing, it just never worked for me. Yeah. Well, it seemed a lot harder than that.
Yeah.
But the thing is, we fasten on to the means rather than the end. I mean, if God does know and God does want it to change, and, how's He going to do that? He's not locked into one single way necessarily doing that. I mean, you start with wisdom. You start with the way that you would approach things in a kind of systematic fashion if it was yours to solve, and you still trust, yes, Lord, you know, and yes, Lord, you know, if you want to fix this, you'll bring the right person. But But I know what you're saying about the kind of it has to be a certain way.
And that would be... It would be a more faithful thing to trust that God knows my situation, God is able to fix my situation, and I'm willing to do whatever I'm asked to do. That's different than my attitude when I was at Followers.
Well, you've always had a bad attitude.
Yeah. Well, yes.
But
thank you.
You're welcome.
But they... So here's an example. This need for preaching is usually what this revolved around.
Okay.
So it was. So then, when we did start hearing the Word of God preached, when we started listening to people who we would have considered worldly preachers, mm-hmm. or some would have considered that, when we got caught, basically, the challenge was, if that preacher was right, God would have sent him here to Oregon City, Oregon, to preach at our church. So it's just a really self-centered view that you have when you believe you're the one right church. You believe God's plan is centered on you. It's not. You brought up earlier, would that absolve everyone of all their situations? We didn't think about any other situations, and we didn't really think that God did either. Like, He was solely focused on us. And I think that's where some of this...
That's a little bit different problem.
Yeah.
I mean, and that is, and if you don't stop to think about other people or other situations or history, I mean, throughout history, all the history hasn't happened here.
Mm-hmm.
There's all kinds of reasons to realize, okay, God has cared about other things, and maybe still does it. It's a big world right now. So there are reasons to maybe expand your view. But all of us, when we get, kind of down in the weeds and locked up on ourselves, all of us kind of do that.
Yeah.
But that is a little bit different problem.
Yeah.
Because that's one problem is getting focused on your own problems. I think the other problem that you mentioned is, well, I'll say it this way, my way or the highway.
Yeah.
That God, rather than I'm going to do whatever God wants, we've flipped it and to say God's going to do whatever I think he should do, not I, but us, whatever. And in really putting the pressure on God to conform to us rather than understanding that it's our responsibility to conform to him.
Yeah.
And that seems to be part of the problem you're trying to identify here.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And not just in our situation of being without a preacher or just not understanding the situation. God knows that situation, and God knows all situations. He knows that there's a bigger situation that we're facing than just being without a preacher in Oregon City. There's a there's a bigger situation that I want to talk about.
Bum, bum, bum.
Yeah, and that's like, wait, it gets worse. No, it.
Oh, please do tell.
Yeah, Mark. I got bad news for you. But, you know, the real situation that I want to talk about is the fact that we are separated from God until we are reconciled to him through Jesus. And when I was at Followers and completely concerned about my situation of being without a preacher or without teaching for really my whole life, I had no idea of this other situation that was a bigger problem, that I had no idea that I was separated from God because I went to the right church.
Okay. Again, that's maybe the self-focused part of it.
Right.
But the reality is it's kind of related too, because a preacher is in this situation would be just the means by which you would hear about God's remedy for, you know, your bigger problem.
Yeah.
And so it's, again, kind of being locked in on the sort of the minor problem of having not a preacher, thinking that that's just a situation when, in fact, in this case, probably it was that preacher would have been the one who could have told them about the hope that there is in Jesus, and how Jesus came, to die on a cross in place of sinners, and to satisfy the wrath of God, so that our sins might be forgiven and our debt might be satisfied, and we might be welcomed with open arms to the Father, on account of the fact that Jesus did it, not on account of the fact that somehow we were in the right place at the right time at the right church.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
And, and that's, it's as we record this, it's almost Easter time, and we're, thinking a lot about the fact that there was a cross and an empty tomb, and that really is God's answer to not just to my biggest situation, but to the biggest situation of humankind.
Exactly, yeah. Yeah, that's... And that's what I want, I guess, to bring to people's attention, is that there is this other situation, like you just brought up, that I just didn't think about. I just didn't know about, didn't think about it. The solution really was most of my life that things would get back to the way they were at Followers when my parents were kids. That was the redemption part of the story that we were telling ourselves. You know, that's what the fix would be. Mm-hmm. And I didn't even know that there was this bigger underlying problem that, like you said, the preacher may have brought to my attention.
Yeah, but. And that's, that it was probably idyllic. I mean, I'm thinking about Oregon City back then, what a great place it would have been to live, you know? I mean, and I can understand that life would have been great, but there's a problem with nostalgia like that.
Yeah.
In that it blinds us to kind of how things really are. Mm-hmm. And I think about that, I mean, I'm thinking a lot about that, not on account of church things or anything, but just even politics. Make America great again.
Yeah.
And what do people have in view? They probably really have almost that same time.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a bit of a problem with the Cold War and nuclear weapons might blow everyone up
right
in the, you know, in the post-World War II era, there's that little, you know, snafu. But other than that, there was a lot that, you know, was going on that was really, you know, in a lot of people's minds, pretty good. You know, yeah. In other people's minds, not so much. But in some, and I say that because I do know people who would love to go back there.
Sure.
It was a simpler time. Yeah. It was, you know, in some respect, easier. And that not everybody would go back, but some would. And I think that nostalgia kind of blinds us to that and wants us to you know, look back instead of look forward. And in other words, rather than solve the problem we need to solve now, we're trying to, I don't know, have a time machine in some regard and go back.
Yeah. Well, and it can draw our eyes to smaller problems, again, than the one we're talking about. It can draw our eyes to these smaller problems and get us to think, if we were just without those, if we could just fix this problem, then everything would be better. And that's what I want to get us to think differently from. With or without a preacher at Followers in Oregon City is not, that's not the solution to the problem. Like, God does know our situation. He knows all situations. Like you said, God is completely aware that we rebelled and were separated from him, and he solved that problem. You know, he sent his son, and we have opportunity through faith in him to have peace with God. And if we could focus on that, we would not be so concerned with these other lesser problems. And that's what I would love to encourage people to do, to be aware of this bigger problem and know that God knows your situation and that he has a solution for you, and to really point people to Jesus to solve that problem, and you won't care about this one anymore.
Well, yeah, what you may care about, I don't know if you'll care about it. I mean, you can care or not.
Yeah.
But the reality is this is Romans 5:1 says, since we've been justified by faith or made right by faith with God, since we've been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. And you know, essentially what you're really trying to get at in a myriad of ways is that it's really peace with God that is the central issue, or maybe I should say a different way, enmity with God or being God's enemy is the problem. Yeah. That's the real problem. God knows.
Yeah.
God knows my situation. Yes, He does. He knows that I've been raging against Him, and shaking my fist at Him, and rebelling against Him, and not obeying Him, and dishonoring Him, and all the things.
Yeah.
He knows that.
Yeah.
And so, and then you say, okay, well, if he knows, he would do something about it, and he did.
Yeah.
He has sent Jesus. We have obtained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand, so that we can rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And that that hope comes from God's provision for Jesus. So.
Yeah. Yeah, it's good. It's good news, and that's really what I wanted to bring up. Like you said, we have Good Friday coming up and Easter Sunday, and I would just love it if people would be focused on that situation rather than anything lesser.
Yeah, it's just really, in some respects, simple. This podcast is probably really simple. We do the same thing kind of every time where we just simply say, you know what, Jesus is the person you need.
Yeah.
And the work that needs to be done is not your work. It's the work that Jesus did already, and you simply need to have access to it by faith into grace. And that's what is that's what Good Friday and Easter are all about.
Yeah.
And how wonderful to be certain that you have peace with God.
Yeah. Yeah, that's great. Well, I just, like I said, it was just came to mind this week that I would say that all the time, that God knows my situation. And I'm really glad to understand that just in a different way now. And I'm really, really thankful and really hope that others will find that same feeling of freedom and joy and genuine hope in Jesus. So we would sing a song called My Redeemer.
Can I interrupt you right there?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You're happy to know in a new way, you said. And yet you're singing an old song. You're referencing an old song that says the very thing.
Yeah.
You know, so you're happy to know it in a new way.
Yeah.
From the old song you're about to quote from.
Exactly.
So, I mean, I just can't get past the fact that the good news has been around for a long, long time.
Yeah. Yeah, it's amazing, isn't it? We would sing the gospel all the time. I would sing this and not understand what it meant. But it says, I will sing of my Redeemer and his wondrous love to me. On the cruel cross he suffered from the curse to set me free. I sang that and had no idea what curse I was under. I didn't believe I was under a curse.
God knew the situation.
God knew my situation.
Yes, he did.
Yeah. I will tell the wondrous story, how my lost estate to save, in his boundless love and mercy, he the ransom freely gave. I will praise my dear Redeemer, his triumphant power I'll tell, how the victory he giveth over sin and death and hell. I will sing of my Redeemer and his heavenly love to me. He from death to life hath brought me, Son of God with him to be. That's just, it's just really good news that God does know our situation and that he has sent his Son to redeem us.
It is.
Yeah. Well, thanks, Scott. Mm-hmm. Well, hopefully this has been helpful. If you have questions or comments or a topic that you would like us to cover, you can reach us at comments@onerightchurch.com. And for more information, you can visit our website, www.onerightchurch.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time.